Welcome to Cathedral Square, hosted by Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. For the next half hour, you'll have an opportunity to find out about some of the history, little-known facts, and the upcoming events at the beautiful campus on the corner of Chapman and Lewis, or as we like to say, at the intersection of faith and reason.
Welcome to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith. I am the Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, the cathedral for the Diocese of Orange in California. On Cathedral Square, we talk about all things Christ Cathedral. We've talked about the development of the campus, the renovation. We've talked about the dedication of the cathedral. We talk about the mission of the campus, how we carry out that mission through the programming of the campus. And we also talk about the various entities who are part of the Christ Cathedral campus. So I suppose the best way to talk about Cathedral Square, again, is to say we talk about all things Christ Cathedral. And a significant part of Christ Cathedral campus is the Christ Cathedral Academy. You know, one of the missions of any cathedral is the mission of educating people in the faith and forming people in the faith. And we are so blessed to have on our campus a school that does all of those things. And so I'm really happy to welcome our very special guests today, who are Ashley Rose Cameron, who is the interim principal of Christ Cathedral Academy, and also Quang Nguyen, who is the director of development and enrollment at the Christ Cathedral Academy. Ashley Rose and Quang, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Father.
I know that you have had quite a challenging time over these past many weeks because of the pandemic and all the requirements relative to social distancing and keeping people safe and all. And we're going to talk about that eventually. However, I would like to first give our listeners an understanding about the Academy in the first place and something about its history. If you could tell us, how did Christ Cathedral Campus end up with Christ Cathedral Academy in the first place?
Well, Christ Cathedral Academy was founded in 2012. It was formerly St. Callistus Catholic School, and I'll have Quang speak to the history of St. Callistus.
Yeah, so as you know, there was a movement in 2012, and Father Christopher, I think you were part of that. It was really rough, but St. Callistus eventually did not close down, but it kind of sort of did.
Rebranded.
And then rebranded. And then we came to Christ Cathedral Academy to form a new community. Was it really rough? Yeah, it was. But, you know, with this community here, everyone was very resilient. And we came together in 2012, and then the school started 197 students. And now we're above 300.
368.
Wow.
I know, right? Through the support of the from the community. So
yes, we started as a one class per grade school and have grown to two classes per grade, kindergarten through fifth grade. And so we are continuing to grow and approximately an 8% increase a year. So we're very proud of that.
Wow. I mean, that is a success story, especially unfortunately in so many parts of the country where Catholic school enrollments are going down, have gone down. Many Catholic schools have closed. Mm-hmm. So this is a great success story. Not finished and still very much in progress. What is the scope? What is the school? What ages?
So we have preschool through eighth grade, and our preschool is a licensed facility, 2-year-olds to 4-year-olds with exactly 100 students. And then our kindergarten through eighth grade, we have our elementary school and middle school all together.
So we service
2-year-olds to 14-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
And I should add also, I think something special about Christ Cathedral Academy is that it really celebrates our multicultural community, and it really does show in our student body. So
we have a diverse population and demographic that adds so much cultural richness, and it's just it's another piece of our, you know, Catholic identity as well. And we do many different cultural celebrations, such as our Tet celebration every year for Lunar New Year and our Cinco de Mayo celebration. And so that is one of the highlights of our school.
Yeah. Well, I always enjoy it so much when I have celebrated Mass many times for the students of the Academy. And I especially like those times when we're celebrating some of the more ethnic observances, like the Lunar New Year and the Cinco de Mayo and Our Lady of Guadalupe and the kids. I mean, no matter what their ethnic background is.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
They're the same. Yeah.
You know, we all become one.
In the garden.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful.
It is, yeah.
Whoever thought clothes could unite, but they do. those kinds of celebrations.
They do. Yeah.
So, Ashley Rose, tell us a little bit about your background in Catholic education, and then Catholic education.
Sure. Well, I'm actually a product of our Diocese of Orange school. So I grew up going to St. John the Baptist Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade and went on to Mater Dei High School. And then I went to St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, and received my bachelor's in elementary education. And I came home and I was lucky enough to get my first teaching job at St. John the Baptist here in Costa Mesa.
Wow.
I taught there for 6 years. And it was a blessing to be able to give back in that way and to be embraced by the community that really made me who I am.
That's great. Well, you know, the most significant and important thing that you said is that you went to Mater Dei High School.
Oh, the Monarchs.
So we're both Monarchs.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm eternally grateful to my parents and to God for allowing me to be at Mater Dei High School. So you have quite a background in Catholic education.
Yes.
And now you're in this really significant role as interim principal of the academy.
Yes. In 2015, I received my master's from Concordia University in educational administration, and I was teaching at the time and had the opportunity to become the assistant principal of the academy 2 years ago. And with the leadership change we had in February, I was named interim principal, and I'm excited to continue the journey and to lead our school successfully.
Wonderful. Huang, how about your background in Catholic education?
My background? Well, I'm a lot different from Ashley Rose. My background didn't start in Catholic school. I actually started music ministry.
Yes.
And where I served as the youth and young adult music, and I was working with you, Father Christopher, at the time.
Yes.
And they hired me part-time in 2000-something, I can't remember, 2008 or 2007, and I just did it because I loved music. And then that transforms to different opportunities because I was very in love with Catholic school because I grew up in a really rough, well, I'm the oldest out of six and my parents came in when they were 16. So we didn't have living in a house with six brothers and sisters. It was really rough to afford Catholic school. But it turns out that, you know, Jesus always has a way, and he spoke to me and says, son, keep serving the church. And then it led me to Christ Cathedral Academy. And then I just came to work one day and just following the lead. I would never imagine myself doing what I'm doing today, but I always just did it because I love the faith. I love our community here. So,
well, Huang, your love of the Lord and of education of the families and the kids is evident through the work you've done here. And for our listeners, I first met Huang as a musician, working at Christ Cathedral and playing for weddings and other things like that.
Yes.
And so that was the first reason for us to meet. And then I've watched your role at the Academy expand over these years. So in addition to your musical skills, you've exercised some wonderful leadership qualities.
Thank you, Father.
In a way for people to be able to connect and communicate well, you know, with the school staff and faculty and with each other.
Thank you, Father. Yeah. Actually, Father, may I add, we actually met even at St. Callistus when you were sort of helping out, if you remember.
That's right.
Even before that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, you know, God's providence, the providence of God has to do, you know, somebody said God is where you are, and that's what the providence of God is. And even before Christ Cathedral was even any idea that we'd be at Christ Cathedral, I used to help out at St. Callistus Parish on Sundays.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the campus was bought. We moved down here to the campus. And so I had the blessing of a relationship with the parish before we even moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And I used to love that mass in the evening. You had your big youth choir. And people were rocking it. Well, no.
I mean, we were praising the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Jesus. It was just great. So carrying on the tradition of Catholic education at Christ Cathedral, what would you tell me is perhaps the central aspect of the school's life relative to being a Catholic school? What makes it Catholic?
Our Catholic identity is very closely tied with the broader Price Cathedral campus. And one thing that we are especially grateful for is our Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program that Sister Monica teaches. And that is from 3-year-olds to 4th grade. And our 3-year-old preschool teachers teach CGS. They're certified. And we have a special atrium on our campus for catechesis. We're one of the very few schools that has a Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program. And it is sort of a Montessori-based style teaching of the faith where kids can use, hands-on. They touch the vestments and the Advent wreath candles, and they walk the road to Calvary with Jesus. And just having a sister present on our campus is really an amazing part of our Catholic identity. Being tied with the cathedral, which, opened last summer, and being a part of, the students being able to receive their sacraments this coming year in the cathedral, as well as just how we operate on a day-to-day basis, how our teachers form our students, how Catholic identity is weaved in all subject areas, and how we meet as a group for morning assembly to begin our day with prayer. It really is just in everything we do.
Yes, and the Academy really does exhibit that wonderfully. And back a little bit to the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, I became very familiar with that when I, in a former life, was the director of religious education for the diocese.
Wow.
And we had a director that knew all about that. Mm-hmm. And we had an atrium at Marywood Center, which was the former head of the diocese. For our listeners, an atrium, it best described as, to me, it's kind of a laboratory in the best sense of it. And there's they have little mini altars and
it's all handmade and handcrafted.
Yeah, it's beautiful, And so, and it really helps the kids to engage a lot more in their faith formation. And we're blessed, as you say, to have that as part of our Catholic school here. What are your thoughts about, the students at the Academy and the Academy being here at the Christ Cathedral campus, the benefit perhaps to the students and families of being here at the Christ Cathedral campus?
Well, we are just so lucky to be on this campus because the exposure to everything related to Christ Cathedral. I mean, the cathedral is open, and before COVID, was about to be open to the public, and just the opportunity to be just at the beginning of that is so special for these students. And, from attending Mass in the cathedral, we did have the opportunity to have Ash Wednesday this year inside the cathedral. Our students sing in the choir. They're exposed to that. Quinn can talk about the diocesan choir that many of our students are involved with.
Yeah, and the diocesan choir with our staff here. I mean, you really think about Christ Cathedral, you think of one of the best music programs I know. The other beautiful thing about this campus is it's beautiful. I mean, you get 24-hour security. I go into the school and there's a camera visible. I mean, if you have a chance, you've got to visit Christ Cathedral Academy, where from the trees, you got the cultural center. I mean, words can't describe it. So when you do have a chance, you come here and just look at it. It's beautiful.
It's very, very well worth a visit.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about the great success story of the Academy so far, then some weeks ago, the pandemic hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that changed life for everybody in every single facet, and it certainly changed life for Christ Cathedral Academy. We're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about what the effects of the pandemic have been on the Christ Cathedral Academy and what changes that you had to make then when everyone was told to stay at home and be safe. Please join us when we come back. Welcome back to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, the cathedral for the Diocese of Orange. Today, our very special guests are Ashley Rose Cameron, who is the interim principal of Christ Cathedral Academy, and Quang Nguyen, who is the director of development and enrollment at the Christ Cathedral Academy. As we've been talking about the Academy, where it came from and what it's been about for these years. We've had a major change, as everybody has experienced with the COVID pandemic. And so I would just like to ask you, what changed when we started getting all these directives from the governor to stay at home and to be safe?
Well, it was Friday, March 13th. Friday the 13th. And we were called into an emergency principals meeting at about 1 p.m. that afternoon. And by 2 o'clock, with the help of Quang and our front office staff via text message, our entire school community had to shut down. They had to send home as many supplies and books as possible, pack up their students, and by about 3:45 p.m., our campus was empty. And wow. We had to create a plan for how we were going to continue educating our students at a distance. And
yeah.
So one thing that we're very proud of is that our staff members met on Monday, the 16th, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And by Thursday, March 19th, we were fully on distance learning. So the blessing is that our school community is one-to-one with technology. We use iPads, and our 5th through 8th graders usually take them home regularly, but on the Friday, teachers had enough time to send home the kindergarten through 4th grade devices. And so the majority of our distance learning is done through platforms such as Google Classroom, Seesaw, and each child is able to have a device to work with. And our plan is amazing. Our teachers have stepped up. They are working harder than ever. And our parents, based on two parent surveys we've sent out, are very pleased with the quality. And now we have taken a little bit of a step back, and our academics are strong. We're doing Zoom conferencing, live instruction, recorded webinars. And now we are focusing on Fridays on faith and social emotional learning.
Great. So on the Friday, the 13th, so everyone just literally went home that day.
Everyone went home that
wow.
day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was, you ever watched that movie Pearl Harbor when everyone was scrambling
yeah.
and didn't know what was going on?
Uh-huh.
That was like that.
I imagine.
Yeah. So the kids were, I pretended I knew what I was doing, but I was just waiting for instructions. Yeah. So I was trying to keep calm, but.
Uh-huh.
But
I was still next door in the pastoral center. And Quang was sort of boots on the ground and
making sure that parents came. And they, I mean, as a parent, seeing you, like, what school? What's going on? We're coming. Okay, we're coming. And then everyone's texting everyone. I mean, I can say that it went the best it could. But we did a really excellent job executing. Well, I wouldn't say evacuation, but letting the students out on March 13th.
So. How did you let everybody know?
I had my phone with me in the meeting, and I texted Mr. Quang and Ms. Julia Nguyen, our front office secretary, and I said, have the teachers check their emails. I sent a mass email to the teachers. Students need to be packed up with devices, supplies, and books by 3 p.m. today.
Wow. Okay.
It was teachers yeah. were frightened. Students were frightened, but teachers were the, you know, besides Mr. Quang, they were the real heroes here
yeah.
because they had to keep a sense of calm within themselves in order to get the students to be, you know, to remain calm.
Of course.
And to do this all, you know, successfully.
Yeah. Yes.
And we communicate pretty effectively with, we understand that everyone has an iPhone. So we have a school app specifically for parents. So if anything happens, Father, we can always send a message. You should get on the app too, Father. I'm going to download
yeah,
it on
should.
You should.
It's an app. Yeah.
It's
developed
free.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's 99 cents for you, though.
I don't know. For sure. Well, you know, congratulations on making it through that. I remember one time some years ago, a church where I was, there was a bomb threat.
Wow.
And
mm.
this, you know, it's certainly a different kind of thing, and thank God there wasn't a bomb or anything like that. However, we did have to evacuate the church, and the Lord gives us the strength to get through those moments, you know. You know, mm-hmm. kind of dig down and say, you know, Lord, help me to look like I'm calm.
God doesn't give us more than we can handle, right?
Right, exactly. You know, so let me go out there. I was in the middle of my homily. Let me go out there and very calmly tell the congregation. I think we'll be ending
very good.
I didn't like it when they all cheered. No, just kidding.
Oh, my
what happened. I do remember, however, that somebody, and it was really good because it helped ease the tension.
Somebody shouted, "Father, don't forget the collection!"
Before
everybody left.
Oh my goodness!
So anyway, emergencies are what they are, and you know, who of us on that day when we were all told to go home and leave where we were and all the rest of it, you know, had that feeling in our stomach? And at the same time, when you're responsible for a lot of people, you really do have to keep calm, to call on the Lord, and then to follow all of the protocols for getting people safely where they need to be.
Oh, absolutely, Father. And we all, it's funny that you brought up we need our faith, because Ashley Rose, she has a statue of Mary in there to protect her and all that. And so before we went this, she gave Mary a hug.
I love it.
Mother Mary, pray for me.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing that we have.
I will say it was very, you know, I couldn't have done this without the Department of Catholic Schools, who really did have a clear protocol and plan for us principals on how we were going to begin our distance learning program. So that meeting I was in, I couldn't leave to come back to my school community, because we were talking about the plan that we had moving forward, how many instructional minutes, what subjects we were teaching, when this was going to begin, Thursday, how we were to coach our teachers, how often we were to check in with them, how often we were checking with parents. I mean, we were given very clear guidelines. That is probably one of the main reasons why we've been so successful. So I just would like to thank the Diocese and Department of Catholic Schools for that, because, you know, they're our shepherds.
Now, had that distance learning planning been taking place before this happened, in anticipation of something like this?
I believe DCS was working on
that. Because I don't know
how
it could have gotten all put together so fast. So it
Correct. Well, what happened was, once the Los Angeles Unified School Districts shut down Friday morning at 9 a.m., then the other public school districts, the Archdiocese of L.A., it sort of started a domino effect, and people started to realize this is going to happen sooner than we thought. We had inklings that we would shut down. We thought we had more time.
Yes. And
then all of a sudden it was, you know, we were prepared, but that's what happened.
Yeah, that's the thing that has amazed me, is that the methodology of doing this distance learning and all the rest of it has been implemented so quickly. And again, as you've said, that's the result of some very fine planning that's been done.
Mm-hmm. We are lucky because we had the technology and the resources to support that. There is, you know, an equity gap when not all students have, you know, access to devices or Wi-Fi or things like that. And we've made accommodations where we can for some families with paper packets and things like that. And it's not perfect. Distance learning is not perfect. We prefer to be in the classroom, you know, and we've had to adjust. We've had to adjust and add more live instruction through Zoom. And, you know, we're constantly tailoring, and, you know, our teachers are flexible. But virtually, with no training, teachers were asked to completely move their classrooms virtually in 3 days. And I think that to be honest, they are our biggest success story.
Sure. What about the families? Because I imagine that some of our families perhaps didn't have Wi-Fi at home or access.
No, it's true.
And how did you help?
So
with that?
Actually, different cable providers and Wi-Fi providers provided free internet for 60 days.
Okay.
And then, you know, some people were able to purchase maybe a hotspot or use, you know, something like that. We weren't able to provide service to anyone in particular, but we were then, if you weren't able to access your device or if your device was malfunctioning, we were able to provide, you know, paper packets for pickup as an alternative way to access the curriculum.
Okay, so by paper packet, you mean
worksheets, textbooks.
Traditional...
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And were the families that did not have access to web or to that sort of thing, would some of them let you know that and ask?
It was very limited.
Okay.
So it was less than two people. But yes, they reached
out
and we accommodated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've wondered that about, you know, all the school systems that, you know, everybody doesn't have access to that. And so how do they get it?
Right. Mm-hmm. We've had to be flexible and creative.
Yeah. So this is not a pleasant piece of the whole picture, but it has to do with the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our Catholic schools are tuition-based, and, you know, families have to pay a tuition. Well, that's how we keep our schools going. How has the pandemic and the situation affected the financial picture of Christ Cathedral Academy or Catholic schools in general. You don't have to get specific about it, but just in general, has there been an impact?
Yes, absolutely. It's been very difficult. Actually, we had to shut down our preschool, and that is a third of our enrollment. It's 100 students, 2-year-olds to 4-year-olds, and we had to shut down our preschool because distance learning was not something that, was applicable to our parents. And, a lot of parents use our preschool for childcare.
Of course.
We are a school. We don't consider ourselves a daycare center, but, we weren't able to sustain keeping open and, continuing to pay our employees without, tuition revenue. And so we did shut down our preschool. And then, of course, a lot of our families have been directly impacted by COVID-19. We have had families that, have lost their jobs or have been furloughed or their businesses no longer exist. Then we have, people who are working at UCI Medical Center, and they're on the front lines, doctors, nurses, scientists, and working overtime. And we have all broad ranges of the spectrum. And so what we've done is we have not made any changes to our tuition amount. No Catholic school in the Diocese of Orange has. Because at the end of the day, we are a business and we do have to operate, but we have provided relief for individual families with a COVID relief application process. They can fill out if there is a hardship in the family, and we've been able to work with many families individually to help their students finish the year successfully, and that does have budgetary implications.
Sure.
And so moving forward, there's a lot of unknown, and there have been staff reductions and might have to continue to be moving forward. So there are difficult times ahead, but, we will get through this.
But we do try to make it work. So despite all this financial hardship, we do have families who step up, and our number one priority is to take care of them first.
Yes.
So Catholic school is always first in our eyes, mm-hmm. and then the financial part can come later. It's not our top priority, but it is some tough times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We reduced our re-registration mm-hmm. fees, from $400 to $250. We still haven't billed it. We split it into two payments. We are doing, everything that we can. We did not increase tuition more than 1%.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we all have to make those adjustments. These are very unique times we're living in, and we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the future and what the plans are for reopening, if you will, or what the unknowns are and all the rest of it. And I'd like our listeners to know also that the final segment after we continue our conversation of the program today will be a homily from Christ Cathedral, as well as some special music from Christ Cathedral. So I hope everybody stays tuned in as we continue our interview with Ashley Lewis Cameron and Quang Nguyen from the Christ Cathedral Academy. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, and with me today we have Ashley Rose Cameron, Interim Principal of Christ Cathedral Academy, and Quang Nguyen, who is the Director of Development and Enrollment at Christ Cathedral Academy. I'd like to talk now about Christ Cathedral Academy relative to the future. You've had to put into place all kinds of things, as we've discussed, when the order to stay home was implemented and the distance learning and all the rest of it. So I'd like to, I know there's a lot of things we don't know, and there's a lot of specifics that we can't give just because we don't have them yet. However, I'd like to ask you to help us see in general some of the things that need to be planned for or that you're considering when we can have our students back at the academy.
Absolutely. We are still waiting on our official guidelines from the CDC and from, our political leaders, but we are planning to move forward as a school community. We would like to return August 24th as our first day of school, and we would like to return in person as much as possible. That being said, we are going to have a new normal. It's not going to look like, the 2019 school year. So we are going to have to put some extreme safety measures in place for our students, and we have, a diocesan task force that's working on that. We are looking to install hand sanitizers in front of, you know, all entrance points to the building. There's masks that are being purchased for, you know, all diocesan schools. And we are looking at ratios in classrooms. And luckily, we have a beautiful facility with the space to spread out. And we typically have lower class, smaller class sizes, student-teacher ratios. So we will, I am very confident that once we seek approval and it is safe to do so, because safety is first, that we will be able to return in person more often than maybe another school. But whether that is a hybrid model of in person, you know, from 8 to 12 and distance learning, you know, a rotational schedule, the reality of it is we will do whatever it takes to create a new normal for our students and bring everyone back to campus safely, as we do have to think about our working families who, when they return to work, will need childcare. And, you know, we have space in the gym. We have a large outdoor playground. We will make it work if our teachers need to remote in, be in person, distanced appropriately, spread out. We will make it work. We are waiting on our directives.
Yes.
Yeah. So we actually was talking on this morning, and safety is number one, and especially the nursing room. I mean, we're going to have to up the expectations to standards, because we have to react to COVID. So our nurse office is going to change. So,
yeah. Well, Ashley Rose, you make a good point about the blessing of all the facilities here at Christ Cathedral.
Yes.
Are big.
They are.
Yeah.
We have a lot of space. And so that helps us to be more flexible and creative about a reopening. The same exact thing is true of the cathedral itself. We have a 2,400-seat capacity cathedral. So doing distancing, social distancing in there,
right.
we can do it, and we can have, you know, enough people. And we also have another 1,200-space building, the Arboretum,
right,
where we can have a mass, our live stream mass going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be different from the live stream mass in the sense that we send out now, but people can come to the campus, can receive Holy Communion and
right.
those
mm-hmm.
things. So mm-hmm.
we're going to have to get creative, and
yes.
we're going to have to be flexible. Like mm-hmm. we said, safety first. And we take, you know, we take our direction from, you know, the Department of Catholic Schools, the CDC, and our political leaders. But, you know, distance learning is difficult and is not equitable for everyone. And so
no.
we would like to get back to normal as soon as possible
yeah.
With, you know, proper protocols.
Speaking about the new normal, I think that one of the great things about life is that when major changes have to be made and when we have to do things differently, I think our system is wired to have us not take so long to having it feel like we've done it this way the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I, you know, I'm sure that will kick in eventually
right.
with us, you know. And maybe even the whole sense of the flexibility piece, you know. No one wanted this pandemic to happen. At the same time, we would be foolish if we didn't try to learn something from it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've learned many times, really learning through this, is that whole sense of we think we know what's going to happen.
mm-hmm.
No, we don't.
It's out of our yeah. control.
It's out of our control. And yeah. so, you know, handing our foundational place in our person to God every single day
yeah.
is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And poverty of spirit really means being in touch with what I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't feel good to know what we don't have, but the benefit is when I know what I don't have, I do know that I really need God,
mm-hmm.
and I do know that I really need other people.
Yeah.
And the blessing of poverty of spirit is also that even though I might not have something like patience today, somebody else does, and they're going to have to be patient for me today, and
mm-hmm.
vice versa. So there's a lot of that kind of flexibility and reliance on each other that's really been necessary during these days, and it's
yeah.
going to be even more so
mm-hmm.
when we're actually doing our ministries, educational ministries, with our kids and our families in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what has set us apart during this time, is that, yes, we are an academic institution, but we are first and foremost a Catholic school. And I can't imagine not having a faith or, you know, something to rely on during this time. And I know that, you know, we've done everything we can to keep a community of faithful people together. The churches are closed, but in my mind, the faithful has never been more alive. We've relied on our faith. We are moving forward. And, you know, even after you did a video message for our parents around Easter time, that brought so much hope and life and joy. And we had a parent retreat this past Tuesday via Zoom for parents with Faith and Family Collective, Pam Hurwitz and Jillian Rhodes. And I got a lot of positive feedback from parents. That's really what they needed. And, you know, I really do think our Catholic schools will prevail. We will, because we have the faith and we have the trust. Jesus, I trust in you. And we will pull through together.
And, you know, during these pandemic, whatever you call it, you'll find out with through this is that the people that are there for you, the true family members, they are there for you. And speaking of that with Father Christopher, you know, during this time, I know you're super busy. You have this whole thing you have to deal with, but yet you reached out and you became a part of our administrative team.
Yes.
And that's the kind of community we have at Christ Cathedral, is that when these things happen, we all call each other. We say, you know, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. And, you know, with music ministry, I reached out to you. With the school, you reach out to me, whatever we can do. And I like how you said, you know, we would be foolish not to learn from this. Well, this is what I learned. I've learned that at the end of everything, it's family and people who are around you. This is the time for you to connect and help each other out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And looking to the future, you know, I know every year, you know, I get it. You know, you put together the calendar for the year and
yes.
the activities and
mm-hmm,
the events. I suppose that calendar is going to look a little bit different this
yes.
year.
Yes, we just released it about a week and a half ago, and it's very skeletal. It includes our vacation dates, a hopeful Christmas program, some graduation ceremonies. But as you know, we even have our second graders who are waiting to receive two sacraments.
Absolutely.
And those are postponed. And but, you know, we have done our best to provide some of these events virtually, which, you know, is not the same. But even today, we have our May crowning that is going to be happening in our schoolyard. And events next year, we don't know. Most likely not, because we need to maintain proper social distancing and follow, you know, group limits and things like that. But we still will build community. That is one thing that CCA does well, and especially what Mr. Quang has, one of his main strengths is bringing the community together, and we'll find a way.
Of course. Well, one thing I think it is unique to Christ Cathedral is the decision that we made relative to graduation.
Yes. So,
can you say something about that?
So we are actually postponing our eighth grade graduation to be in the cathedral. We recognize that this class of 2020 was going to be the first graduating class in the brand new cathedral, and we want to honor that promise to them. And with your blessing, you know, even if that's August of hopefully not November, but, you know, come back from high school and we will celebrate you and graduate
you. There's
Christmas trees.
Yes. And,
you're a freshman.
In the meantime, we are going to have a drive-in award ceremony on June 5th. And each child will receive their awards. And, you know, we want to recognize them during this time. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in, you know, an eighth grader, a senior in high school, a college graduate, but we will do our best to make it memorable for them.
Yes. And I'm just laughing because, you know, the idea of postponing the graduation is so great, because in doing that, the kids, the student is going to be able to say, I was in the first class that graduated from the cathedral. The new cathedral.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the you know, he or she can tell, you know, their kids and grandkids and all the rest of it.
And these are founding families. These are people that have come from St. Callistus,
that have
gone through many administrations, that have seen the cathedral built from the ground up.
Well, and along those lines, I don't know if you remember, Quang, but when we were beginning the renovation of the cathedral building, We had a day where the kids from the academy could come over and sign their name on the floor.
Before it was,
on the walls, before we covered the floor with the new materials and the
so
walls.
Special.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. They sat in their little groups. They wrote prayers. They wrote their names.
I wrote my name.
I wrote my name too.
Oh, gosh. Where is it now? It's under, it's still there, right?
Yeah, they're all still there, but it's just covered by the beautiful stone floor. It's covered with.
So when do we get to see that again?
Those away. No.
Well, one thing we're doing with the eighth graders, we're doing a time capsule. So we are going to bury that somewhere in the cathedral campus, but they get to put an item and a note to themselves. And hopefully in 10 years, we'll have a strong alumni and the class of 2020 can come back and dig up their time capsule.
And that's the thing about Christ Cathedral, now that I think about it, Father. Even though this is the cathedral, there's a sense of family in this cathedral. For us to sign our name, and then, you know, it's such like a homey feeling at the cathedral. And so now that you're reminding me that, I still remember. It was such it was hot in there, remember?
It was very hot.
It was really hot. But we still went in there and we wrote and we used Expo pens, I believe. Oh, gosh.
And it was beautiful. It was historic. And I bet those kids that did that will always remember that, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, before we end this time, I would just like to hear, you know, that this has been a hard time and challenging time. And I'd just like to hear just briefly from each of you, what replenishes your spirit? What keeps you inspired and engaged?
It's got to be music. You know, every week, every Sunday, I do a few masses. But when I use that time to really build energy and surrounding myself with happy people. That's very important.
Good idea.
He's very positive.
So positive people.
Great. Ashley Rose?
Right now, I would have to say it's the kids.
Yep.
I love children. I always have. And everything I do is for the kids. I'm here to serve. And, you know, sometimes I get to see them on Zoom or via video, or I see old pictures. And I just, you know, walking the halls and seeing the march calendars and the schoolwork in the hallway makes me sad. But at the end of the day, I'm doing it for the kids. And they keep me going.
Well, that's beautiful, and both of you, I'm so grateful for the wonderful work you do at Christ Cathedral Academy, and especially during these tough times, and I thank you for your presence here today. If any of you would like to have more information about the Christ Cathedral Academy, you can go to our website. And what is the website?
We have a new website, ChristCathedralAcademy.org, all one word.
That's easy.
Easy. Yes. .org.
Okay. And also that will give you some information. Perhaps you have a child that you'd like to send to the academy. Or
yes, we are accepting new students.
And I'm also sure that you would accept any financial assistance that somebody might want to give.
We do. Yes. We do offer financial assistance.
We do.
Well, that's great. And I'd like to remind everyone that the final segment today will be a homily from Christ Cathedral, and also some music recorded from the cathedral. So you've been listening to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith. Thank you so much for your presence with us today.
Thank you,
Thank
Father.
You.
Welcome back to Cathedral Square. For our final segment today, we'll feature a homily from the fourth Sunday of Easter, otherwise known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Here's Father Christopher Smith.
As a child, one of my favorite pictures was a picture of the Good Shepherd carrying a lamb on his shoulders. I loved that picture. And I remember thinking how great it would be to be a lamb. How great it would be to be a lamb and to have somebody carry me around like that all day long. It was a lovely, lovely thought. And I also remember wondering, well, why was that little lamb being carried in the first place? I mean, did he break his foot? Did he have some kind of an illness? Did he stray away? Was he tired? I don't know, but all I knew is that the Good Shepherd was carrying that little lamb on his shoulders. Well, I can tell you I am not an expert on the topic, but what I do know is that there are a few requirements for being a shepherd. One of those requirements is fidelity to the flock. A shepherd needs to do everything that he can in order to keep his flock together. The shepherd is the one who has to require things to be just so that the sheep aren't stolen like the gospel was talking about, or so they wouldn't get injured or attacked by some wild animal. A shepherd also was the one who needed to provide food, and that's why shepherds moved their sheep from pasture to pasture so that they could be well fed. They needed to have places where they could drink water. In other words, a shepherd needed to provide for the sheep all of the things that they could never provide for themselves. The shepherd also needed to become very familiar with the sheep, because it was essential that the sheep recognized his voice so that when he called to them and prodded them along, they would follow. In the gospel passage for today, Jesus calls himself a sheep gate and a shepherd. As I look out on the landscape of Orange County, and I see the endless tracts of homes, the endless network of freeways, all of the buildings everywhere you can see, it's really hard to imagine a shepherd. It's really hard to imagine a flock of sheep right in the middle of Orange County. And then I think of my childhood picture of the Good Shepherd. And then I begin to remember and think what it was that Jesus was talking about. In all of those houses, in all of those cars, in all of those buildings, there are people. In the houses, there are people who are trying to raise their families in this very difficult time. In other houses, there are people who are alone and they wish they did have a family. They wish there were family around. And in other houses, there are families who seem to be falling apart. In the buildings, there are people who are working to support themselves and to support their families. And many of those buildings these days are empty, or the offices in them are empty. Why? Because people have lost their jobs, or they have been furloughed, or they have been ordered to stay at home. In the vehicles on our many freeways, there are thousands of people traveling, less than usual, for sure. And at the same time, those people are traveling to get home. Others are traveling to get the work. And some people are just out on those freeways to take a break from the confines of being at home all the time. The people in those houses, in those buildings, and in those cars, those people are us. Those people are us who need guidance, who need care, who need safety, who need protection. We are the ones who occupy the places, not only in Orange County, but all over the world, those places where we need the comforting and strong shoulders of the Good Shepherd who cares for us. As the sheep gate, Jesus is the one who gives us access to peace. Jesus is the one who helps us to enter places of mercy and forgiveness. And we enter those places every time we pray in the name of the Good Shepherd. Maybe participating in this Mass this very moment is one of those moments of reassurance and maybe a moment of refreshment. As the shepherd, Jesus is the one who gives us life because he gave his life for us. And as the gospel says, he wants us to have life in abundance, even in the midst of such a difficult time. I remember when I was a child, My grandma used to call my brothers and sisters her little lambs. I remember grandma saying, "Oh, my little lambs, it's so nice to see you." And if you were really lucky, grandma would pick you up and she'd look you in the eye and she would say, "Oh, my little lamb, I love you so much." Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go out there and start calling everybody our little lambs. But what I am suggesting is that in the spirit of the Good Shepherd and maybe my grandma, these days, let's not be shy in expressing our affection for other people. Even in times of crisis, we can be shy about that. Let's not be shy in telling people how much they mean to us, how much we care for them, and how blessed we are to have them in our lives. Okay, if you want to call somebody a little lamb, that's okay too. The point is, express affection for other people. The concrete and asphalt pastures of our world are in so much pain these days. But maybe our expressions of affection for each other could go a very long way in helping every single one of us to feel the comfort of the Good Shepherd who carries us, his little lambs, on his shoulders.
The Good Shepherd. He brought forth his people like sheep. Like a flock, he led them in the desert. He led them safely with nothing to fear, while the sea engulfed their foes. The Good Shepherd has arisen. Flock. Alleluia. So he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain his right hand had won. He drove out the nations before and appointed to each their heritage. The tribes of Israel he settled in their tents. The Good Shepherd has arisen. He will lead down his life for his flock.
Been listening to the Cathedral Square Radio Show with Father Christopher Smith. To hear this program again or to download the podcast, go to OCCatholic.com and click radio. Be sure to share and tell a friend as well. Have a blessed day.
Have you heard Father Christopher Smith and the Cathedral Square Radio Show? Here's a soundbite with recent guest Greg Walkenbach from the Office of Life, Justice, and Peace at the Diocese of Orange.
And when we're divided ourselves as well, I think that hurts our witness to Jesus.
Oh, it does. And it's hard to witness sometimes with some of the attitudes of the world today. I was thinking about it just this last week about Jesus, love your enemies. I remember one time I was giving a talk and mentioned a little bit about that. And then after this talk, this person came up to me and she said, Father, that was just a great talk. I loved your talk. It was just wonderful. There's just one thing I disagreed with. And I said, well, what was that? She said, you know what, that love your enemies part, I just don't agree with that. And I said, not my material. That was Jesus talking, you know, always to kind of, as that same passage says, to go the extra mile.
Yeah, and it's so easy to forget, and it's very easy to, in the process of trying to fight for human dignity, whether it's for the unborn or for the migrant or for homeless or for whoever, to then diminish the dignity of somebody that I'm trying to work with.
Yes,
or some,
exactly.
If I'm sitting across from a legislator and I can diminish their dignity, or I'm talking to a fellow parishioner who has a very different viewpoint than I do on this topic and I can diminish their dignity. So how do we respect the dignity of one another even when we have significant disagreements? That's a conversation that matters too, because we're called to protect human dignity at all stages, including the stage of right now where we're two people talking to each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Catch Cathedral Square Saturday mornings at 10:30 on Relevant Radio, or download the podcast at OCCatholic.com/radio. That's OCCatholic.com/radio.